From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled Closet Praying, the second in this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Nothing to Alarm Us. The text is Daniel chapter 12 and verse 13. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. We cannot understand all the prophecies, but yet we regard them with pleasure and not with dismay. There can be nothing in the Father's decree which should justly alarm his child. Though the abomination of desolation be set up, yet the true believer shall not be defiled. Rather shall he be purified and made white and tried. Though the earth be burned up, no smell of fire shall come upon the chosen. Amid the crash of matter and the wreck of worlds, the Lord Jehovah will preserve his own. Calmly resolute in duty, brave in conflict, patient in suffering, let us go our way, keeping to our road, and neither swerving from it nor loitering in it. The end will come. Let us go our way till it does. Rest will be ours. All other things swing to and fro, but our foundation standeth sure. God rests in his love. Therefore, we rest in it. Our peace is, and ever shall be, like a river. A lot in the heavenly Canaan is ours, and we shall stand in it, come what may. The God of Daniel will give a worthy portion to all who dare to be decided for truth and holiness, as Daniel was. No den of lions shall deprive us of our sure inheritance.
Once for all the Savior paid redemption's price, when upon the cross he made the sacrifice. Hear his words of triumph sounding from the tree. Hear his shout sounding of victory.
Christ has died, salvation is complete. Follow through his cross and worship at his feet. Listen to his shout resounding far and near.
secure, with the King of Heaven, victory is sure. Down the halls of time, His words forever ring. Hear His voice, make your choice, crown Him King.
A desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. From his text in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, Dr. Cairns is setting forth Christ's instructions for prayer. First, we're to enter into our closet away from the busyness of life. Then we're to shut the door. If we would get through to God in prayer, we must give Him our undivided attention, free from all mental and emotional distractions. Finally, we are to pray to our Father. Our focus must be on the Lord. Also, if we would pray effectively, we must prepare our hearts by reading and meditating on the Scriptures. Now to conclude this message entitled, Closet Praying, Here is Dr. Cairns.
Possibly because of the boogeyman of mysticism, any carnal character that comes along and gets into the pulpit that's filled with a swelled head of empty theological speculation, who doesn't know the depths of personal holiness and a personal walk with God, scares Christians off from the secret place with the boogeyman of mysticism, and they haven't a clue what mysticism is. But possibly because of that, in evangelical Protestantism and in most of our Reformed churches, we have lost the secret of listening to our God. What does he say? Keep silence before me. What does that mean? What does it mean? Come on now. When you tell your child to keep silent, do you expect it to have a PhD in theology before he can understand you? No. You expect him to understand, and the Lord does too. Solomon warns us, when you come into the presence of the Lord, watch your step and watch your words. Watch your words. We knew it last week, and the last time we looked at this, that in the model prayer the Savior gives us, the emphasis, at least in part, is on brevity. Now, there's a place for continuing all night in prayer. But prayer is not great because of its length. It's great because of its depth. And if we would be able to come into God's presence, we should, before we speak, do some listening. We should attend to the Word of God. We will find that the Word will give us great thoughts of God. I've often told people, when they come asking, how do I study the Bible? They want rules of exegesis and exposition, and they want to be able to do what they see preachers doing and outline a book and outline the sections of that book and go on through it in a very analytical way. Now, you may be able to do that and you may not. But let me tell you, those are only the bones of Bible study. And I've often told people the place to start is in a chapter by chapter reading of the Word of God. In my study at home, I have a book this thick, a very old and worn book. It gives us the meditations of one Bishop Hall. One of the beauties of it is he starts in Genesis chapter 1. And what he is doing is really just praying his way through the chapters of the Bible. That's how to study God's book. When you come to a chapter, what does it teach me about God? What does it teach me specifically about Christ? What are the great doctrines of this chapter? What are the virtues that it recommends? What are the sins that it condemns? What are the examples from which I may learn? These are the things to ask a chapter when you're reading it. And take the time to write them down. And when you have so trained your thinking and you have allowed the Word of God to give you great thoughts about God, great thoughts about His Son, great thoughts about His salvation, great examples of His dealings with His people, you will find that Word will convict you of your sin. It will direct you into the will of God. It will set your desires in prayer in the context of the will of God. It will enable you to pray. Yes, it will do much more. It will motivate you to pray. I would say that any use of the Word of God that doesn't lead us to pray is probably illegitimate. And I know, especially for students, that may sound an extreme, a very extreme statement. But I am sick, sore, and absolutely tired of what our churches and our seminaries, that should really be called cemeteries for the most part, what they are doing to the Word of God, that they take this living Word and it has become as dry as dust. It has become the vehicle for stupid professors to show the depths of their stupidity by bringing in all the philosophy of the world and all the so-called scholarship of the liberal mind. And when we have come to the Word of God and we have so mishandled it, there is nobody would be driven to pray as a result. And I tell you, that is an illegitimate use of God's Word. Any legitimate use of Scripture will lead us to pray. We'll focus our attention on our Father. And when we have focused our attention, then Jesus says, pray. Pray to the Father. You're not talking to yourself. Let me warn you about that in prayer. Jesus says, pray to your Father. I've had people come into my study to ask advice on certain problems. And at times they said, I am praying about it. It's wonderful, you know, when people come to see a preacher, they've got to sound very spiritual. And my biggest difficulty in dealing with people, so I'll tell you right up front, if you ever have to come to deal with me, please learn this before you come and you'll save yourself and me a whole lot of trouble and time. My biggest trouble is to get them to speak in plain English. They want to talk about, well, the Lord is doing this and the Lord is doing that and the Lord... Look, man, just cut right to the heart of the matter and tell me what the problem is. Because when you dress it up in a whole lot of spiritual language, you're really not telling me the truth. That's the problem. And so oftentimes when I've got down to the truth and people have been saying, well, I've been praying about it. I've told them, well, it's time to stop praying about that. What? You're telling me not to pray anymore about this? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Because you have long since stopped praying to God, and all you're doing in your so-called praying is reciting your troubles and your trials and your worries to yourself, and all you're doing is feeding your own fear, trying to make yourself feel a little better because you've done so. That doesn't work. Jesus does not say, talk to yourself in prayer. Don't try to make yourself feel better just with the wonder of your own rhetoric in prayer. But really pray to your Father. This is not a psychological gimmick. It's an interesting thing about the word that is used here to pray. In the New Testament, it is used solely of calling upon God. There are other words that may be used of prayer to God that may also be used of petitions to men. But this particular word is used of nothing else than calling on God. In Scripture, it has no other use. It means to call, therefore, to commune, and to petition the Lord. So what is he saying? Pray to your Father. Address the Lord as your God and Father. Be absolutely open and honest with him. Trust him as a child would trust its father. Receive the rebukes that a father needs to give and the promises that he's pleased to bestow, and be assured of his care, for he careth for you. Address him as your father, but yet approach him as your Lord and as your God, with due reverence, on the proper ground and the proper merit, knowing that we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way that he hath consecrated for us. And then ask. Ask. What does that mean? Just what it says. Ask. Simply. Plainly. Submissively. Ask and rest in the wisdom of the Lord's response. Now, men and women, this is the real closet life. This is closet praying. And it's a vital part of the Christian life. Now, it's not the whole of the Christian life. God hasn't made us monks. Monkery is popish, not Christian. God hasn't called us to live in the closet. We must frequent the closet. But then we have got to leave the closet and we have got to go back into the everyday world. The Lord Jesus suggests this. He says, pray to your Father which seeth in secret, and he will reward you openly. What is that saying? What we do in the closet will have powerful outside effects. Closet prayer is the expression of our faith that what we accomplish alone with God will have more effect on the world around about us than anything else that we do. Do you believe that? Do we really believe that? What we do in the closet will have more effect on the world around us than anything else we can engage in. Now, that's not the mind of the world. It's not even the mind of most of the churches. It's not even the mind of most Christians in any church. How do I know that? I know it, A, because of the neglect of the public times of prayer. It's always been my experience that the people who are most diligent about private prayer also love the place of communal prayer. And when I talk to Christians, I find they tell me they have great problems about closet praying. Therefore, I know this is not the mind of most Christians. If we really believe that what I accomplished by the grace of God in my closet is more powerful outside the closet than anything else I do, then I certainly would be more diligent about the closet life. This is the teaching of Christ. And I put it to you very bluntly, your usefulness to God is limited by your prayerfulness. And your usefulness to God will be fueled by your prayerfulness. Moses' face shone after he'd been alone with God. And if we want the light of the glory of God to shine to a darkened world through us, we must spend time alone with God. The early Christian church shook the world after they had prayed. And if you take a look at church history, you'll find the secret of every truly great work of God is in the secret place of prayer. We see a Martin Luther nailing his theses to the church door. We see him thundering in his great controversies against the Pope. We see him standing like a colossus amidst the unfolding drama of the Reformation. But what we don't see are the hours alone with God. Luther's great statement, I have a very full day today. Therefore, I must spend 3 hours with God. I must get alone with God. Every great work of God is carried on by the power of closet praying. And the Lord then rewards openly, or literally in the manifest. How does the Lord manifest His power? To people and through people who take time to enter the closet, shut the door, and pray. This is how to slay the hypocrisy of our hearts. This is how to crucify the uprisings of the flesh. This is how to enjoy real communion with God. This is how to experience the fullness of God's power. Enter the closet. Shut the door. And pray. I hope those three injunctions will reverberate in your mind and conscience as they have in mine. Enter the closet. Shut the door. And pray. How is your closet like? I trust that God will teach us what it is, laying aside all hypocrisy, to get in there alone with God, not to hide our skeletons, but to open our hearts to Him in honest communion.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.